With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Right, guys, do you know that we do the best ice cream in the world here?
Everyone says that.
No. This is the best vanilla ice cream in the world. Giacomo, can please? I mean, you know a thing or two about sweets.
I love it, yeah.
Right?
Giacomo, is this the best ice cream in the world?
Of course, 100%.
Because Giacomo, on the way in, you said, if Fred tells you it's the best ice cream, you're like, it's not true. It's not the best
ice cream. You're such a wind-up.
I'm not. Giacomo said that.
I'm
going to try it.
What? And if you can't say something nice, just put something nice in your mouth. Do you remember this advert?
that's the motto I live by.
Wow.
Oh my God, it really is good.
Yeah,
it is really
delicious. The world champion, aren't we?
Oh my lord.
From what I understand, ice cream is basically like custard and milk.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Because my first job was working in a pub, in a restaurant, in the kitchen, basically preparing food and like washing dishes and stuff. And the chef
Cold
showed me
good.
This amazing thing, which I rarely ever do, but mixing ice cream with custard is like the most delicious combination. It just goes so well together.
Ice cream and custard?
Yeah, ice cream and custard.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to constantly give me these things called milk floats, which was Diet Coca-Cola with ice cream.
A Coke floats, yeah.
God, I hated them. And he would always go, on the Sunday he'd bring it, we've got a surprise for you. And every time he'd bring me this Coke float.
Maybe he really liked it.
Yeah, well, I just never wanted it. Fred, as a kid...
Never had that Coke float.
You never had it?
No.
But as a child, do you have something that makes you really nostalgic, that makes you really remember your childhood, food or something like
My parents cook so much that I could just sit here with a big book and tell you all the recipe, like lapin, la moutarde, for example, rabbit with a mustard sauce, the bœuf bourguignon. My dad make the best French fries in the world. Whatever the season, whatever the potatoes, the French fries are amazing. There's a beautiful apple tart, il flottante, all the French classic that you know and that you know in the books, you know, from the French recipes, they've cooked them. I mean, obviously we have lunch and dinner, but every lunch and every dinner with a three-course meal. So you'd have your starter, you'd have your main, you'd have your cheese or yogurt or both, and then you would have a dessert. Mm. And the same for dinner again.
Wait, how do you stay so slim?
Because, I mean, I think it's genetics. But at the end of the day, I don't snack. Mm. So, I mean, I have a bit of ice cream now, but I don't have any sweets or any chocolates in the afternoon. Yeah. I just have my meal at lunch and my meal for dinner, and that's it.
And you think that's key to just keeping in good shape?
Yes, and also I think that you've got to use more energy than you put in.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's kind of the basic.
It's very simple stuff, isn't it?
You have to expend more energy than you take in. You know, you want to basically be.
That is banging ice cream.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Actually, do you know what? This would actually be quite good with a Coke float. This ice cream.
No, it wouldn't. It would not be good with a Coke. I just think they're the worst things.
I quite liked them when I was... I haven't had one for literally like 20 years.
But Fred, this is a big question. I'm sure you get asked this a lot. But, you know, if you had to pick your perfect meal, and you have to pick a starter, main, dessert, what would you pick and where would you have it? What location?
If you're on death row.
If you're on death row, you've
so you can't choose the location.
Yeah, you've murdered loads of people. You're on death row and you have to pick your last meal. But you're allowed to go to the destination wherever it is and you have your meal. What would it be?
I think I will have, without the shadow of a doubt, 24 oysters. I'll have some beautiful oysters from Arcachon. They're delicious.
24?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I'm going to go for it. Then I would have a beautiful côte de bœuf, rib of beef, cooked on the barbecue, my dad's French fries, a beautiful garden salad, just picked like this from the garden with a nice French dressing with Dijon mustard, a very classic dressing. And then I will have a little bit of vanilla ice cream.
Voila. This ice cream, I would... Yeah.
I'd be ready to go then.
But also, Fred, where would you have it? Where in the world would you then go and you'd have this food? Would
you
have
if you it? Let's say you got off all the charges?
You suddenly escaped from prison to have this last meal. Where would you go in the world to do it?
Your case was overturned. The DNA evidence found you not guilty, and you realise, okay, well,
I would probably be in Negril.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Jamaica on the beach.
Again, I thought you said in the grill. I was like, why would you want to be
You don't understand me?
He's speaking English.
I know.
Is it because I is French?
No. So you would go to Jamaica?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Is it beautiful there? Is it amazing? Mm.
I was there at Christmas. The most beautiful holiday. Mm. Beautiful. You know when you listen to Bob Marley and you say weather is sweet, sun is shining, weather is sweet, makes me want to move my dancing feet. It's exactly like that.
Really?
It's so sweet. Have you been there?
I've never been.
It's so sweet.
We should go record some podcasts out in Jamaica.
Yeah, it's an incredible destination.
Go and try and find Bob Marley because I reckon he's still alive. And we're going to record a podcast.
And you know when I go there, you know, because I like to speak the lingo of where I go, you know, so I speak patois. I mean, I'm not fluent in patois, obviously.
And wait, explain quickly, what is patois? It's kind of like...
Well, it's a broken English.
Yeah.
So I was at the airport and the lady there, the customer, I go like, I say, Wagwan. She goes, Midea, what you depon? So I understand Midea, but I didn't know about what you depon. So it's like, what you doing? Do you know what I mean? And I was like, oh God, what's going on? Anyway, but the point is, the connection is made here and there.
Really?
And they think I'm a local.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Do you understand?
It's true. So I lived in West Africa for a long time, and I...
Do you play the drum?
Do I play the drum?
Yeah, West Africans are very famous for the drums.
I don't play the drum. I mean, I play a bit of, you know, I can bang a drummer or two.
Yeah, anyone can bang a drum.
Yeah. But, you know, I can bang a drum.
Like that, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, living there, I was, you know, out in the bush and... You know, just speaking a bit, you know, it really makes people just appreciate you that you went to the trouble of learning, you know, just, you know, basic, you know,
But patois is a language.
Yeah.
It's a language. You can't just improvise it. If you don't understand it, you would understand it. It's like speaking another language, like Chinese or French to you.
But Fred, how many languages then do you speak? So you speak French, English, I reckon you got Italian in you.
Yeah.
A little bit of German.
Nine.
Na,
ich, wann ich sprich Deutsch und ich habe vergessen the word, ich invent the word. It works.
I forgot the word.
And yeah, then it sounds, they're famous for inventing the German word.
And then you just say a word and it just works.
Und ich speak like that in a German accent, yeah.
It sounds like you're speaking German.
It's like I spoke with a girl called Carrie Ann Lloyd, who's a very funny comedian, and she says she speaks in French, right? But this is how she speaks French. So she would say, oh, tu parles vous, hey, French,
baguette.
But not even French words. You just go, hey,
like Keith Lemon. That's how he speaks French.
That's literally how he speaks French, isn't it?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And also, the most amazing thing about you is that you've had this amazing life where you came to the UK 27 years ago, as you said. You worked in restaurants and service and to the highest degree. But then what came along, and I suppose what the whole of the UK then knew you for, and perhaps part of the world, is a TV show called First Dates, which is a dating show. And probably one of the nicest... most dating shows are about breaking up and horrible things and not about love and all those kind of stuff.
Not dating.
Well, it's just about just breaking up and disarguments, where First Dates was about love and about that experience and about being the fly on the wall watching a first date happen. How did you get approached for that at the very beginning?
I just got a random call from somebody I worked with before and said, look, we're doing this show, do you want to be involved? So we came up, we had a chat, and invited me to meet the rest of the team, and that was that, really. Mm. But and what I wanted to meet the team because, you know, I mean, as you know, when you do TV, it's like everything that you do in life. You know, you want to work with good people and
sure.
people who know what they're doing and who are good at what they do. And so I wanted to make sure that the team was the right team. And I went to meet the team. And, you know, I do a lot of conferencing around the world on the topic of service. So I meet a lot of people. I meet a lot of organizations. And there's always one or two conferences that you do. You speak to people and you realize there is an undercurrent within the company, within the culture. The first date, whether it's first date hotel or first date restaurant, when we film, we have a team of between 70 to 120 people. There has never been a person I met who's talking badly or has anything to say that's remotely negative about the show, about our daters, about anybody in the team. And I think that's very important because it means that the culture is right.
Yeah.
And so if you've got a culture like that, because everybody love first date, but you see, I can see it from my screen when I'm watching TV, but also I know first date from the back, and I can see the people I'm working with. I can see all the efforts, and people are genuinely want these two people to come together and meet and really have a good time together. And that's the spirit, and that's why people like it, because it's so genuine, it's so true, it's so beautiful, and that's what we do.
And people someone's got married from it, haven't they?
People get married, they have children. It's beautiful, you know. You're part of the first day family, but you know, for a lot of people, you know, because there are some people like yourselves, you know, we're very confident, and you can meet people just at the drop of a hat. You can do that. You can talk to anyone.
Yeah,
you don't have any problem with who you are and with that sense of confidence.
Oh, no, Fred, I have a big problem with who I am, but I just cover it up.
Very good. We all do.
Yeah, we all do. We all do.
But it's true. Some people come the first date restaurant, and you know that they feel it's the last chance for them. This is how they feel, you know, and they feel petrified, and they are not at ease with themselves. They're not at ease with relating to other people or to make a connection with other people. And so for them, it's very important. And we have a responsibility, because when people come, we've got to match them correctly, but also we've got to make sure that we provide this environment. And they feel the kindness, and they feel that we are there. We
to
wrap them around
them.
In cotton wool.
You're there to support them, right? And so they suddenly get that confidence to go, okay, fine, I can actually do this. And it's a really nice atmosphere to be in, because... weirdly enough, you can't really run away from it once you're in there, so you're kind of stuck there doing it. And so, like you said, you're wrapping them in this cotton wool, which makes it really kind of comfy for them to go, okay, I'm kind of comfortable with who I am at this moment in time.
That's what it's about. And you know, people feel that, you know, even if they don't find somebody, they feel good about it, and they could feel good about the experience and about themselves. And that's a positive, because maybe then they go on to have another date in their in their own life, you know, without the TV and all that, and it works. You know, and that's what it's about. But you know what? I remember Jamie came on the first date restaurant.
Oh, did you?
And
I
what
did.
I really liked about Jamie, because I didn't know him at the time, is that
he thought this is some reality star prick coming on.
No, he had his date, and then Jamie got up and went to thank every single member of staff, whether they were on screen or off screen, to tell them how fantastic the experience was. But it was just the way you went about it that was class. You know, when we were talking about giving before,
yeah,
that's what we're talking about. You know, because he had to do it. You know, he didn't have to do it, but you have to make the effort and do it. You don't just improvise it. It just was.
You've stopped doing that now.
Yeah, I don't like people.
Now
I don't
touch
but,
me.
No, but it's so funny, Fred. You say that I just think it's so important to
It was the appreciation. It goes a long way.
And because I've done so many. I remember when I used to play rugby when I was younger, right? I used to play a lot of rugby. Yeah, England under 16. No worries, guys. Yeah,
I'm no proof of this.
Yeah, well, there is.
Just go. His word.
Well, yeah, my word. Fullback. Yeah, I was amazing.
You were a scrum half.
No, I was not a scrum half. I was a fullback. Ran the 100 metres in 10.8. I also still hold the javelin record for under 14s. If you want to go down the records, but anyway,
but where is this record?
Who's on the internet.
This record?
Yeah, I am on my wall. Anyway. But I used to play rugby, Fred, right? And I used to play rugby, and I was pretty good at it. But I never, ever, ever got it. I was never appreciated. So every single time I played a game, I was always by my coach, always said, well, you did this wrong, or you did that wrong, or you done something wrong. And I think the biggest kind of confidence builder in life is when you turn to someone and say you've done a good job, or you appreciate someone for doing something, whether that is in a classroom or whether you have food and
especially
you go and
when
tell
they're
the
not
chef.
Expecting it.
Of course, because you forget that you forget that so many people go to restaurants, right, and you sit there and you enjoy your meal, you enjoy your food, but everyone behind the scenes are working. They're performing to make your meal the best thing ever. So I think it's such a classy thing to get up and just go and thank everyone for their service. If it's bad, don't go and do it, but if it is a great service, go and do it, because it's so appreciated by people, because it's rare that happens.
If it was bad service and you did it, people just think you're being sarcastic.
But Fred, also with you, you've now gone and done so many different things. You've written a book. You are doing different TV shows. You do an amazing thing where you work with prisoners. Isn't that right? And how does this work? You teach
is this
them
with a clink or
no? It's completely different. Well, 3 years ago, I started this scheme in ISIS, which is a young prisoners institution in Thamesmead, near Belmarsh, and I met the governor there as a result of an introduction from somebody I knew, and we visited the facilities, and I just said to him, we could open a restaurant here. So a restaurant is simple, as long as you've got four walls, tables, and chair, you can do it. We set up the right course, which is basically a restaurant within the prison to look after the prison staff. And it's set up at no cost to the taxpayers using existing facilities, existing equipment. So basically, we're teaching the skills and values of the hospitality industry. Wow. So people practice, they cook, and also they serve others. They look after our restaurant. They go through qualifications. And at the end, when they come out, they've got a job upon release. Because the biggest factor for people to not reoffending rates now are about 50%. So it's about having a job. Yeah. It's about the place where you live and whether you stay in touch with your family. So at least we're taking care of the job part. And so far, I mean, out of the whole prison, this is the most successful scheme in terms of people getting out, getting jobs, and not reoffending, and living a law-abiding life.
I guess it's also it's the type of thing. It's fantastic, that, because it's the type of thing where they'll leave and they'll feel good about themselves, and they'll feel like they've learnt a skill in hospitality.
Have you ever been in a prison? Have you ever visited a prison?
I haven't visited a prison. I've ridden to...
Because it's pretty grim. I mean...
Is it not fun?
No, people tell you, oh yeah, they've got TV, they got this. I mean, it's just, I mean, oh, it's horrible. I mean, the cells are small, the beds are very, very small. I mean, we are not big, all of us, I mean, you're taller than us, but you would struggle to be in the bed. Very narrow, it's not long at all. The mattresses are this thin, and they're very uncomfortable. The food is what it is. There is no pleasure whatsoever. And then you are in this environment where you always have to prove yourself, and you have to have that bravado about yourself just to make sure that you can survive.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. And if the reason why, I mean, we all had a very nice childhood. My parents loved me, you know, and my family loved me, and the community was around us and everything. But if you didn't have that in the first place, then you're more likely to go in prison.
Yeah.
And the studies shows that, you know, this is the case. So.
And once they've gone in prison, they're more likely to go back into prison as well, because of they become sort of...
I just did a TV show for Channel 4, which is coming out actually on Monday. So Monday, the 11th of February. I was a police officer for 2 weeks in Peterborough. This Monday coming. Yeah, cool. So it was 2 weeks where I fought in Peterborough fighting crime. It was really interesting. But Fred, as you said, what I found out, and it was a sort of running theme throughout the whole thing that I found, was that I would say 99% of cases is it's nurture, where these individuals have grown up and they have had a really bad upbringing, whether that's being beaten or that's abused, having a bad time at school, being abused, being experienced the wrong thing at the wrong time. And either they go and self-medicate themselves, where they go and turn to alcohol or drugs or whatever it is to try and self-medicate themselves, or they just try, they can't get rid of it, so they just go and go into this turmoil, so start fighting and they get in trouble, and they then get stuck in this washing machine system that's impossible to get out of, and prison just doesn't help it.
It's very difficult, at least, yeah. But something that you're doing at the prison is a brilliant way of actually giving people another path. You know, which is.
I mean, look, there are 80 prisons in the UK. I mean, I do work in category D, C and D prison, which are the least secure prison. So, and after you've got B and C, which are for very serious offenders. So mine is in C and D. And the last time we did a pop-up there, I take some of my friends who are chefs, and the best feedback is one guy said, you know, I did not feel I was in prison today. And I did not feel they were in prison. And at the end of the evening, there was some other group there. They were doing rapping and playing the guitar. I mean, the rapping they did was amazing. That was...
Really?
It was brilliant. It was such a good
Christmas
evening.
Christmas presents, or... what were they rapping?
That just rapping was just amazing. There was so much tinsel on it, and it was
nice ribbons. And, yeah.
Right. Fred, we have to hold on there for 1 second because Francis, you have to read us your diary.
Ah, okay.
Which we're very excited about. I'd also love, Fred, can we just say a big thank you for letting us in your restaurant today? Because this is, as I said before, it's the first time we've done anything in a restaurant ever, but people are still eating around us and things like that. So, I tell you what, they've had a lovely time because they've been entertained.
Yes,
by me, I know. Thank you very much. I know you gestured towards me just then. I know I'm very entertaining. Right, Francis, let's have your diary.
All right. Old Jeremiah Birch, the chimney sweep, finally came today after we rescheduled 4 times. I tried to reschedule again today, but he apparently didn't get my text message telling him no one would be home. He gave me and Katie quite a fright when he turned up, before sweeping the chimney, as he does, in about 10 minutes. He then explained that it didn't really need cleaning at all, and then charged just a mere £100 for the service. That's some good quality service there. I noticed his diary was packed, and apparently he has to take bookings a year in advance because he's so busy, apparently sweeping other perhaps perfectly clean chimneys. Later that day, when old Jeremiah Birch got my original message, he called me back, asked who I was, and when I would like to reschedule. When he comes next year, it is my intention to show him the dirtiest chimney he has ever seen.
And are you going to do that?
How would you dirty a chimney?
Is this like a
metaphor as well?
Do you actually start fires in your chimney? Or you just... How often do you do that?
But I thought I burnt loads of fires this year, but apparently it didn't even need cleaning. But you have to book him so far in advance.
Because no one's a chimney sweep.
No, but then you have to book him so... But no, he is laughing all the way to the bank.
Is he really?
Because he booked up. Every day he's booked up. Like a year in advance.
How does he get up the chimney?
No, he uses these poles to put...
Oh, that's not fun. He's not going in the middle of it.
No, it's too small. He's not that small.
Oh.
Yeah, it's tiny small. It's not a massive, like, you know, it's like a small fireplace.
Hey.
But he swept it and then,
Then went on his way.
But yeah, so then he does 10 of those a day. So he probably makes like £1,000 a day sweeping chimneys. And does that every day for a year.
Well, I mean, would you like to sweep chimneys and get a sound and
for £100 for 10 minutes work? It's not bad.
Yeah, I would do it for sure. Hey, Fred, we're not going to take up any more of your time. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We honestly couldn't appreciate more. We know your time is precious.
Ooh, I've got one more question for you. Secret question. Not a secret question. Question of the week.
It's a secret question.
It won't be in a minute. It is right now.
Go on then.
What is the largest hotel in America?
I think I could guess this.
It must be
in Vegas.
Las Vegas. That's what I was going to say.
And how many rooms does it have?
I would say the Mirage.
Mirage?
Possibly 1,000 something rooms. I don't know.
I would say it had 2,000.
No, more than 1,000.
More
rooms.
Than it's got to have
maybe 5,000. Rooms.
Yeah, I would say yeah.
But which one is it?
I reckon 6,300 rooms, and it's the Mirage.
All right, I'd say 5,000.
5,000.
The Mirage.
It's actually the MGM Grand.
There we go.
And it's got 5,936.
So you
rooms.
Win.
I win.
Well, yeah,
Fred. Well. Thank you.
And I've got another question.
Okay, here we go. Being a head housekeeper, being responsible for all those rooms.
Imagine. They must have more than one maitre d', though.
Yes. No, I was talking about the head housekeeper to clean the rooms.
Oh, the they must have more than one, like...
cleaner.
More than one of everything.
They must have more than one guy.
Yeah. What's your next question?
Okay, the next one is, what is the tallest hotel in America?
It would be... The tallest hotel in America would be...
I do not know.
It's in Chicago. It's a hint.
I've never been.
The Sears?
No.
The Four Seasons?
No, it's
we're not going to know. So we're going to go, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's just going to happen.
No, it's the Trump International Hotel in,
is it?
In Chicago. It's 96 floors.
He had to build a big one, didn't
he? Yeah, exactly. Hey, Fred, Fred, this is kind of the context. Fred, thank you so much for coming to the podcast. We can appreciate it more. Buddy, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
I feel like he's been inspirational throughout the whole podcast.
So. But you have to leave them with something more inspirational, whatever that is.
You've got to top it.
What am I going to do? What am I going to say?
You've got it within you. Do a poem. You love your poems.
Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. And today is Bob Marley's birthday.
Don't worry.
He'll be 74 today.
It's also the anniversary of Queen Elizabeth II's ascension to the throne.
There we go.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week.
See you another.
Bye.
Bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.